All right, happy Friday to everyone out there. Football Friday. Joe Rose in Tampa for the preseason game tonight. There'll be a preseason game here on 560 The Joe, WQAM. So we went down the roster today, and I said I wanted to talk football. We're going to have a lot of football to talk to. I'll talk about today. So Mr. Monroe. I'm going to call him Mr. Monroe. No, we're not. We're basically been bonding for the last 15 minutes. Brian Monroe in here with us today. Good morning. Welcome to the morning.
Oh, man. Listen, I'm ready to go, man.
I know you are. Now, listen, I always say this because we always have when Joe's out, we have you're the Dave Hydes in and the Omar Kelly's in. And I've had former players in sitting with before. Day one, you're good. You're jacked. I don't even see a cup of coffee. I'm proud of you because normally just you see my 5 hour energy.
The 5 hour.
You see my Diet Mountain Dew.
I'm jealous of the 5 hour. The five hour is always the best.
And I have to different brand it almost every day. I have to go with the kind of like the gas station brand one day, the regular 5 hour one day. It's like you have too much coffee. You have to drink two cups.
Yeah.
So I split it up. But yeah, this is my morning ritual. But I'm proud. You got a bottled water.
Got a bottle of water.
You got here. You were here before I was. I am proud. This is not like normally when we have a guy come in and fill in. I'm not even lying to you. And everyone does a great job when they fill in. But they're here at like 5:52,
yeah.
8-10 minutes before the show starts, dragging some serious ass right in the early part of the morning. You're up and at him, so I'm excited. This is going to be a fun day today. But in all honesty, thanks for coming in, but welcome to our show in the morning. I know you're
appreciate
doing shows
it.
On both stations now that we're kind of one family under a roof,
it's so funny how you guys all hesitate and say, yeah, we're one
right
family, I guess, since I guess you guys used to beef.
Well, it was Civil War. It was North versus South.
Yeah.
Like, it was the North building and the South building.
And I never was involved in that. So I was like, yeah, I just jump back and forth. They're like, yeah.
I grew up in radio down here.
That
right. That's it. It's like, hey, like there's Tobin walking down. He's doing his morning show and this is happening and this is happening. Yeah. I grew up in South Florida radio where it was just QAM forever. That's where I started working. And then I was the first voice on 790 The Ticket because I went like this as we were starting. Hello, hello. And then Phil Shane did his update and we started. So the first actual voice, local voice you heard on 790 The Ticket was my going, hello, hello. And then we went to an update and Joe Rose, we did our show. So it's weird that we're all together. So there's a lot of background between the two stations. But yeah, for 3 years when I was on The Ticket, it was bleep QAM.
Yep.
What can we do to kill them off the air? And 3 years later, they signed the contract. And I'm like, well, bleep 790 because that's how it was. But welcome to the radio world. We are under one roof. It is fun. I'm glad that Mr. Monroe's in here with us today. We have a lot to talk about. We are 8 days away now. And I'll start with this since the Canes in the room with me today. The biggest game we've had in a couple of years. The start of the Manny Diaz era. The start of the Jaren Williams era. Like, Canes Gators, plus we were teased a little bit in the last 24 to 48 hours with reports and news. Blake James talking about a big something on Tuesday that he's going to announce. I got to think that it's Canes Gators related.
It better be a game,
right?
And not the uniform release like
well,
they did
you're
before.
Right. Okay, I didn't even think. You know what? I didn't even think about that. Now that you're bringing that up, I didn't even think about that.
Even
though that would be really disappointing.
Even though he
if
said
that's
future schedule,
sure.
It still could be schedule of the uniforms for each game.
Okay, now you're scaring me because I've been looking forward to the announcement of, you know, I see the guys in the Orlando Sentinel, Mike Bianchi, those guys
yep.
talking about, well, our reports are the fact that it's going to be a home-and-home series with the Gators and the Canes. That's great, but I do hope this series means every year and not three over the next 17 years.
Oh, that's going to be it.
You know, like
that's going to be it.
I know. I just hope it's not. I hope that both sides have sat down, because I like to see it too. You know, I get ripped all the time walking around the building, and there's Canes here. Oh, you guys are scared to play us. Yeah, I know. The guys that used to be there were scared. They obviously were. Something happened where they just didn't want to play. The flop, they bring up this and that. Great. Over the last 15 or 16 years, the Canes fans get all over the Gators fans. They don't want to play. And then I love the Gator reaction back. Well, how many championships have you won since we won our last one? I love the bleep talking.
It is. And
that's
it's a lot.
That's the best part.
It's a lot.
Miami, Florida State. Florida State. I was a Gator. I went up to Gainesville. I went to Doak in a Gator jacket while it was raining and sat in the frat section at FSU and got beer bottles thrown at me. I know what the rivalries are like. I told you before the show, I grew up in the Orange Bowl. I know what the Miami-Florida State rivalry is like. I love it. This should be every year. There should be a state champion every year. Eventually, when the athletic director in UCF kind of, you know, grows a pair and wants to play everyone else and doesn't want to have to thinks he could just get a one-on-one with everybody, that'll be fun too. And Tampa and USF, get them all. Get FIU involved. Get FAU involved. That's fun. But you have to get the big dogs involved
first.
You do.
You do.
And that's the problem.
And I get the whole SEC, we're this, it's our schedule, the whole nine yards. Understandable.
It's a good crutch we use.
It is a good crutch, yeah. But the SEC isn't always dominant from top to bottom. Right. Because if you look at some of the old school teams, Tennessee has been horrid
garbage.
The last 5 years.
Yeah, they're garbage, yes.
Even though Georgia has come on of late, before with Mark Richt there, they were good.
But they were 8 or 9 wins.
They weren't
national
dominant.
Championship. Yeah, right.
You know, everyone talks about the West of the SEC.
Right.
The East, on the other hand, is
it's kind of weak at times. It is. Me and Joe talk about it all the time. We were talking about even the Canes moving from the Big East to the ACC. And the big thing about that was the ACC very excited. They already had basketball on lock.
Yeah.
ACC basketball is the best in the country every year, no matter what. And they get better. They somehow bring more teams in the ACC, and they're better. The football was okay. It wasn't great. They weren't a power, really. Then all of a sudden, you're bringing in Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech. You're bringing 3 powerhouses. Okay, well, let's plan the next 15 ACC championships. Miami, Florida State, maybe Virginia Tech. Those 3 will be in the rotation every year. Miami will win 3 or 4 ACC championships in the next couple of years. If you would have told me the day that Miami moved into the ACC, that Jim Larrañaga would win an ACC basketball championship and a tournament, ACC tournament championship, before the Canes would get to that ACC championship game and win it, I would have laughed you off this table and said, you have no idea what you're talking about. It happened, though.
You and me both.
It happened.
I was like, oh, we're going to the ACC?
Right.
Ah, this is
right.
Cool, man. We're going to take this. We beat Florida State all the time.
Right.
Who else they got over there? NC State, Phillip Rivers? Nah, we got that,
Syracuse. They move back over from the Big East with you, and you're like, okay, Virginia. Okay, these are teams that we could beat 52-0 or 42-7.
BC.
Right.
Like, who do they got? North Carolina?
Right.
Oh, man, this is going to be easy. First game up there, North Carolina, we lose. We're number 3 on a field
goal.
I was like, oh,
you
my
You got to be kidding me, right?
Goodness,
that's
what
it.
Is going on?
So I don't know. So this goes back to what we're talking about. I don't know what Blake's about to announce on Tuesday. I have no idea. You hear the leaks, but we don't know for sure until it comes out.
He has to.
Has to, right?
But I don't think I'm scared that I think it's going to be like a 2022-2023 game and like a 2026-2027
right? Something like that. I know.
Because I look at our future schedule. I know next year we go to Michigan State.
Right.
I know the year after that we play Alabama. So it's not going to be any of those 2 years.
No, you can't start the season with that like they're doing this year, and you can't really just throw it in the middle of the
no.
season. Gators aren't going to do that either. Gators aren't going to just move a game from the SEC out of there. So, yeah, I don't know, but I'm sure hoping, because nothing is better than this lead-up. We have been leading up to this game next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, for months now.
Yes.
If not longer than that, when it got announced, and now the uniforms are coming out and this and that. Everyone's getting hyped up for this game. We're hosting watch parties. Like, this is going to be a really fun, fun Saturday. I just hope that it's not like the last fun Saturday in that rivalry to, like you said, till 2027.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to wait 8 more years. Let's just do it. Like, I'm okay. I'm a Gator. I'm a Cane, whatever you want to call me. I want to see good football. That's all I give a bleep about.
Yeah.
But we'll see. If it's a uniform thing, now that you put that in my head.
I'm just saying.
If he just comes out and announces, we have these really good uniforms that we're going to be using on Saturday, and they'll be available at HurricaneSports.com tonight.
By the way, we're going to use these throwbacks against the Gators, and here are our future uniform schedule for the year. I'm going to be like,
oh my God.
Come on, Blake, you did not just do that to
the
us.
The disappointment on the level, I don't even know what the level of disappointment would be, just for the random fan, but for the nutty fan out there. That look, I wish we're on radio, you can't see.
You can't.
But your face is exactly summing it all up. I would be really bleeping disappointed if it's not at least 3 or 4 or 5 more matchups.
I'm literally going to guess it's going to be a home and home.
Right.
Just 2.
And just 2 more.
Just
2.
And they're going to just give us a little something for
a
us
tease.
To shut up.
A tease.
Kind of like when we play up at Gainesville in 2008, believe it was.
Right,
and then they came down here 2013.
13, yep.
I expected to be something like that.
5 years in between. Like, that's too much.
I want like every 3 years.
Fine.
If Florida, the deal.
Blake, you hear
this?
SEC, we're bartering the deal for you right
every
now.
Every 3 years, because at least Florida Miami fans can have that little trash talking every couple
of
years.
Too many years in between for
instead
that.
Of, well, you guys are scared to play us.
Right.
Well, hey, how many rings did you catch
when
we sucked? Because we still have 5 and you have
my
3.
My favorite is, bro, our campus, we have a stadium on campus, bro. What about yours?
I don't get that. Like, that was, I was filling in for
I heard the argument
Zazzle,
yesterday with you
and Amber's
Amber.
Like, but we have it on campus. I'm like, do you know what Coral Gables is?
Right.
Coral Gables is old school money.
Right.
We don't even have sorority houses.
No, you're right.
But you expect us to build an 80,000 square foot house?
You can't. Build the first off it would cost so much in Coral Gables to build a stadium.
And then the roads, which everybody's going to come down
US 1 and Bird Road. It's hard enough to get to Marlins Park. Can you imagine it being in the middle of Coral Gables with all the traffic down there? I've driven down to campus on a random Monday for the show at 4:30 in the morning.
And you can't move.
And you can't move in can't that move. Traffic. Can you imagine 35 or 40,000, even in a smaller stadium,
no.
trying to get there Saturday for a 3:30 kickoff?
No.
And not just that, but you got a tailgate. So you're talking about 11:30 gates open. So that means 9:30 you're going to be on the road, and you're going to be stuck in traffic till 12.
Oh, no, you have to be on the road at like 6 a.m.
Right.
What are you
that's
talking
it.
About?
That's what it was for the Gators-Canes a couple years back when it was at Hard Rock Stadium or whatever the stadium was called back then. We get to Crowder's house. I think it was a noon start.
It was
a noon start. So I literally talked with Crowder and a couple of our buddies, and I was like, what time do we want to be there? Let's be there at 9 a.m. Okay, perfect. We should probably meet at your house, Crowder, at like 7, because it's going to probably take about an hour and a half to get there, whatever it was. We got there in 8 minutes. Like, there just happened to be no traffic on the turnpike right then and there. And then it's 7:30, and we're at the gate. And my dad's with us. Of course, we're in a car with like 8 people. He's got one of these super Tahoes.
And I was going to say the clown car where we're just
it was a clown car.
Out.
It was like a Tahoe with like 8 rows of seats. So like just people just kept going out. And it's all the blue coming out for Gator.
Yep.
Everyone's got their Gator shirt on. And then there's my dad, who's the OG. He's Papa Krantz in all his Canes garb. Old school Canes hat. He's got it backwards. He doesn't care. He's talking bleep the whole time in the car. He gets out. He gets right into one of these tailgates. And he's the most loved guy. And I'm walking through a tailgate with a bulletproof vest. Because that's how crazy it is, that stadium that day. For that, you can't be wearing Gator garb unless you're in a Gator section.
Exactly.
It was crazy. But I don't want to wait 5 years in between. I don't want to wait 3 years in between. We're at a point now where the flop and all those years in between, it was so long ago that most people don't even remember it unless you go on Google and look up history of UF and UM.
Exactly.
Let's just do it. Why not? At this point, get a couple games under there and don't do it 8 years apart. At 3 years is perfect. If we could barter this deal right now on the air, I'm fine with that. If I had to speak for Gainesville, we're signed. Where do I sign? Every 3 years, and not just 2 more appearances. Let's just do every 3 years.
Every 3 years.
For the next 21 years. Let's get 7 more matchups
and,
in.
And home and homes, not neutral sites, even though Orlando's
Fine.
Not going to be neutral.
No, it's nice because it's in between, but
yeah,
we're
in
90
between.
Minutes from Gainesville in traffic.
Exactly.
In traffic, I get there in less
and
than 90
what,
minutes.
And 3 hours here? No
yeah,
traffic?
3 hours. And listen.
We know Orlando's a Gator town, so come on.
Everything like from I-4 up is
yes.
really is Gator. You talking Joe went on Jacksonville radio, and all they were doing was talking Gator football.
Of course.
Jacksonville.
Of course.
You know, obviously you get to Tallahassee. It's a different
yeah,
school
yeah,
you're
yeah,
talking
yeah.
about. But the rest of North Florida is Gator country, and that's what it is. And everything south of I-4 is Cane country. You could tell. There are some parts of like Port St. Lucie that are Gator parts.
I was going to say, where I grew up in Palm Beach Gardens, we had a ton of Gators.
Right. There,
ton
there
of
is.
Gators.
And listen, there's a lot here in Broward County,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Twin Peaks, I think, by my house in Davie was, I believe, the Broward County Gator, like their watch party.
I mean, listen,
you try to walk in there, you can't.
We used to have more watch parties for Seminoles and Gators
right.
in Miami and Brooklyn. And I was like,
right.
yo, where's the Cane official watch parties?
There's not.
And until we got like Cane bars, like
right.
Brother Jimmy's back in the day, and now Black
Loved
Market,
it.
It's like now we have Cane watch parties.
Right.
But before it's like, oh yeah, that's a Gator watch party. I'm like, what?
Gator watch party.
What?
Yeah, I know. Sitting in Miami. That's just.
I just wanted to walk in with my Cane shirt on, you know, during their game.
Listen, I'm telling you, you'd love hanging out with my dad. My dad will walk into a Gator bar or FSU bar.
Straight up.
With his old school, the kicking ass since like 83 shirt he's got. I buy him all the old school shirts. He's got no idea what any of them really mean. He probably doesn't care, but he just, as long as it's Canes on there, I'll wear it and I'll go in there.
I remember when it was a couple years ago, Florida State was opening against Ole Miss, right? In that kickoff classic.
Right,
game.
Right.
It was me, John Vilma, DJ Williams, and John Beeson. And they were like,
pretty
hey,
good group right there.
We're going to go watch the game over at American Social. I'm like, isn't that a Florida State bar? DJ's like, yeah. yeah, that's why we're. He's like, that's my boy, though. I'm like, all right. So we walk in there.
Right.
Cane's gear's on. It's a Florida State bleep show.
Right.
Everybody in there is Florida State. And they're just looking at us. Obviously, they're not saying anything because the dudes I'm with are, you know, a little bit bigger than the rest of the guys in the bar. And we literally watched it till halftime, and that's when Ole Miss was blowing them out at half, but Florida State came back in the second half.
Oh, that's right.
But we left at halftime when they were, like, losing.
Of course.
So, of course, some girls were talking trash, and I was like, hey, I can't hear that real quick. Oh, do you see the score over
right,
there?
Right,
okay, give me my drink. Thanks, appreciate it.
If you're going to crash a party, might as well be a Florida State one at that point. All right, Brian Monroe sitting in for Joe Rose today. Joe is up in Tampa. There's a game tonight. You'll hear that on QAM. Preseason game number 2 for the Dolphins. We'll get into some Dolphins talk as well. I just figured we got to start off with something a little fiery on a Friday morning. It is Football Friday here. Brian Monroe, Zach Krantz in here on 560 The Joe QAM. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. All right, back here on 560 The Joe WQAM. You can text us at 56022. Text on 560 The Joe WQAM or driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. This month, all new Toyotas are at a clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models. 56022, 56022 is a text machine. Brian Monroe sitting in today on a Football Friday. We are in a different studio today. If you've been listening to me and Joe the last couple days, our studio, there was a roof leak, and it's a lazy river now and there, and it's pretty nice of Entercom to do that, to make us a lazy river here at the studio, so we'll get to that soon, but we are in another room. Monroe's in with me early this morning. We've been talking a lot of, obviously, Canes Gators in the first segment here. There is a preseason game tonight. The Miami Dolphins do play tonight, and it's preseason game two, so we're not looking for too much tonight. No injuries, hopefully. The problem is with the Dolphins that they've got a ton of dudes that are injured right now. And we're not talking about players 86, 87, 89, 88, 89, and 90. We're talking about some major guys that are going to get no playing time and, I guess, new to the list in the last week or so. Kenyon Drake, Devontae Parker, Laremy Tunsil's been kind of injured, didn't play in preseason game number one. But I guess it's a good chance for the younger dudes to step up, the younger players to step up. And the one guy we have been talking about is Preston Williams, who has just lit it up in week one of the preseason, was the highlight reel in preseason game number one, preseason week number one for the NFL. I take it with a grain of salt, even though I want him to be the next, you know, Michael Irvin. I want him to be the next, you know, big-time wide receiver. But he was undrafted. He did have red flags. At this point, I don't care about any of that. None of it matters.
Isn't that how fans are, though?
No.
As long as he's on my team.
That's right.
He's good. Don't worry about it.
Oh, he's on your team. He's
what did he do in college?
Right,
I don't know. That was a mistake.
Sure. And you know what? If he could come in here as an undrafted guy and within a week make me not think about Devontae Parker anymore.
I think every Dolphins fan's dream is that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, get in there and become a guy that I don't have to worry about a Devontae anymore. Let me not worry about Devontae so I don't have to rip him as much.
Yeah.
You know, for not being able to stay on the field and he's injured all the time. And he's back injured now, so this is a perfect time for someone to take his place on this team. But it is preseason game number two. It was just preseason game number one. I'm taking everything with a grain of salt, but it's nice to see a guy step up and have the opportunity to step up and take full advantage of it.
And, you know, we've done many a show, just like you guys, and we did a show where we were like, okay, who do we like as an undrafted free agent? He was my number one for the undrafted free agents. And everyone was like, but why? And I say, if you look at him in high school, five-star kid.
Right.
That means he's got all the tools. He's a top five receiver in America. He went to Tennessee. He could have went to Georgia. That means he has talent. He ends up going to Colorado State and ends up being a top five in yardage coming out. We know he's got the red flags, and that's why he dropped out the board. But he had grades up as high as third round, second round grades. Sure, it should be to no shock that he's doing what he's doing. For me, I say the first test is, can he do it in practice? Can he make some catches? All of a sudden, we started hearing his name. Oh, Preston Williams this, blah, 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 blah. All right, cool. First dress rehearsal. You're going to play against twos and threes.
Right.
Now I need you to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that. Check. The box checked. Now, the next step I need for him is to go against an NFL-caliber guy that's going to be on the roster and start game one. Will we see that tonight, or we see that game three?
I think he's going to be with the ones tonight. I mean,
okay.
I wasn't in a production meeting. I know that the TV and radio guys go in those production meetings beforehand, talk to the coach, and get a little bit of insight before the game. I don't know any of that. I didn't speak to Joe Rose. I have no idea. Plus, he probably missed the meeting anyway because he went up late last night. I don't know. I'm expecting him to be with the ones.
Yeah.
At least in the beginning, because I know that Josh Rosen's going to see some good time tonight, as he should. We kind of know what we're getting from Fitzpatrick. We need to know what we're getting from Rosen. You got to get Rosen in there with the ones. I don't agree with Flores not putting him in with the ones, at least in practice a lot. I know yesterday he did. I saw Omar's Twitter, and I saw the beat writers up there in Tampa or the day before, where he got his first team reps. He was in there from the beginning of practice. It was not Fitzpatrick and then Rosen. It was Rosen from the start. I got to see that because you made a pretty big investment trading a second round and a fifth round pick to get him, see what you got there. Listen, the dream scenario is that he comes in here, knocks your socks off, and is your franchise quarterback. I need to see it, though. Like, I can't hope it and then by week 9 or 10 in the regular season finally see him get in and then see what he's got. I want to see it from the beginning. That was a question I was going to ask you in this type of situation. put yourself in crazy the Dolphin jersey like I wear
like
on
I'm
game day.
Having, yeah.
I see. I wear it every time there's only a weekday game day here at this. What do you want to see from Josh Rosen early in the season? Do you want to see Fitz play and then Rosen get in? Because my whole train of thought is, if it's kind of be, I hate to say it's a wash of a season, but it is going to be a wash of a season. Give me Rosen until he flops, or give me Rosen until he blossoms.
See, for me, I never thought Rosen would start day one for the Dolphins, only because I didn't think he'd be able to take the offense, understand it, and be able to command the huddle and give it to the guys that he needs the way to do it. So I was like, okay, Fitz is a savvy vet. Been in this league 15 years. He's seen every single playbook. He's going to understand it. He's going to understand blitz concepts, different exotic coverages, and I think Rosen is still thinking. So for me, you're going to lose the locker room if you put in and
that's what I'm worried about. You're right. You're
force Rosen on in game one. And if you look at those first four games, not only are they all playoff teams, the defenses that he's going to have to play against Baltimore, Patriots, Cowboys, and then the Chargers with those two double bookends that they have going on there.
Who did Stephen Ross piss off before the season and Flores to get that schedule, right?
So for me, I would have Fitz start the year only because I know the locker room guys are like, okay, this guy gets it. He gets us out of our huddle.
Everywhere he goes, he's that guy.
He gets it. Right, now, he's the reason he's a backup because he doesn't have the physical attributes that a starting quarterback should have, but he's smart enough and he can run an offense. Rosen, on the other hand, was a top 10 pick for a reason. Meaning, we see something in you that can be a franchise quarterback. But we all know with football, from good players to great players, it's in between the ears. It has nothing to do with your athletic ability. It has to be able to do is, are you thinking or are you knowing and you're just going? You're reacting. Because 2 seconds on a football field could be a tackle for a loss or a touchdown.
Sure, of course.
So right now for me, from listening to Coach Flores, Rosen's still thinking. He's not commanding the huddle. Like you said, he's got bad body language.
Body language,
He puts his head down. Like, I need you to look at me and tell me where to go and what am I doing wrong and rip me when I'm doing it wrong. So I got respect and understanding. You know this. So for me, Rosen, sit the first four.
Okay.
Let Fitz start.
Then you got to buy, and then week
then
six you can get
the
him
buy,
in.
Okay. And then we have the, it's an open competition.
Sure.
Air quotes.
Okay.
Right? And then all of a sudden you can say, hey, this is the time to find out. What do we have in this young kid? Do we need to invest in a quarterback in the top 10? Are we 0-4? Are we 2-2? How are we looking? And that's where you go into the Rosen era. I don't want to put him in there in the first four games.
Okay.
Because if he flops, you can't put in Fitz and take him out because he's going to be.
And you can't put him back in after that.
Back, no.
Right. Okay.
I'd rather have Fitz, savvy vet, put him in there. To me, when they signed him, I said, this is going to be the most exciting way to lose if the Dolphins do lose.
We saw with Tampa last year.
Oh, my God.
He was the MVP through four games last year.
It was amazing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he showed back up in the Steelers game.
He was Fitzpatrick. That's it,
which is cool. I understand it.
Four touchdowns or three picks. It's one of those two games.
I'm okay with that. Now, if you look at this roster is not set up to win now.
No.
This depth is the biggest concern for the whole entire year. You saw what the offensive line and defensive line did in the first preseason game.
Right.
Or didn't do. It was like an open floodgate on both sides of the ball. So it doesn't make a difference what quarterback you have in there because he's going to be running for his life.
Yep.
So you might as well get Fitz in there that at least can understand concepts on defense, switch to protection, move the line. Rosen right now I don't think has that. The thing that shocked me the most is when Flores said that he never called out the Mike Backer pre-snap. He always had the offensive lineman do that over in Arizona. I said, whoa, what?
You always see the quarterback. First thing he does, point right away.
52 is the mic. 52
is the mic. 52, right. You're right.
And when I heard that, I go.
He never did that, huh?
Never.
Wow.
They said that the center did it in Arizona.
Really?
So I said, he's farther back than I thought. Because just knowing your alignment is your first thing.
You got to see the center of the defense. You can see what's going on here, regardless of what they're doing on the other side and what they're sneaking or hiding. Or you got it. You're right. Okay, so that's something. That's something that's pretty big, of course, as someone who played and you understand that. I didn't even think about that. And the mic thing, I didn't even really – it never really hit me until you just said that. That is always the first thing you see when a quarterback runs up to the line of scrimmage, gets up there, takes a look at both sides, calls out the mic line. It's NFL films. Like, you watch NFL films, that's the first thing
you see.
It's
a basic way that you know how to do your shifts and your movements, because if we don't even know who the mic backer is, how do we know which direction to go, what protection we're running? We don't know who we're running it off. So if he's not even comfortable doing that, I can only imagine him trying to regurgitate the plays and then figure out, okay, if they go to man, two-man, single-man, man coverage, what do I rotate to? What's the hot route? Like, nah.
Got to have all the cadence and all that.
He's thinking too much right now.
Okay.
And I need him just to react. I need him to know everything 100% for me to trust him. And we know in the NFL, coaches are about trust.
Always.
Who's not going to lose me my job? Right now, Fitzpatrick's not going to lose me because he knows everything. Everybody trusts him. Rosen, have a nice throw. Then throw one to Jermaine Grace in the first game where you're like, yo, my man, what were you looking at?
I mean, I saw that and went, wow. Like, that's about as bad as it gets right there. And you're going to have times like that in the preseason. You might as well knock it out. But that was bad. And you do see good and bad fits during the regular season. Yep. Like I said, through four games last year, MVP of the NFL, not of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
No, NFL.
And not only that, but when you have DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans kind of coming out going, you know, maybe we should let Jameis sit until, you know, this thing gets cooled off. And it did get cooled off relatively quick after that. But two veteran receivers talking about the fact that they love Fitzpatrick and everyone that's played with him. Go to the Jets, go to the Bills, go to Houston when he was backing up there. They love Fitzpatrick. He's a guy he's a leader in the locker room, I guess you could say. So yeah, you're right. So until Rosen gets that, okay, fine. But I got to see a lot of Rosen.
Oh yeah.
Forget about preseason. We're going to see it to see it. You're going to see Rosen in there tonight, maybe play a lot. Maybe Fitz doesn't play for all we know at this point. Maybe they have Rosen in for the full first half. I don't know. But regular season, if your strategy of four, then bye, then start in week six, is it, I'd be okay with that. But I got to see 10-plus games from Rosen because I got to see what I got. And I'm hoping by that time a miracle hits, lightning strikes, whatever it is, and Rosen turns it on as the franchise guy, because I'd love to have that first pick or first top five pick next year not be a quarterback if you don't have to.
Did you think when they traded for him he could be a franchise quarterback? Did you like him coming out of college?
I was 50-50 at best. Last year during when the draft came along and I saw Baker go and then Darnold go and then Allen go, in all honesty, I wouldn't have been upset if the Dolphins traded back five or six picks and then took Lamar Jackson. But then I knew at that point you're changing your entire offense. It's bringing Tebow in. It's bringing one of these guys in. And at that point going, okay, we can't run pros.
Bring a who?
I use Tebow as the example.
No. You cannot use Tebow when it comes to the NFL. Not the NFL.
For one reason only. Because he got drafted and they changed the entire offense.
Yeah, and what happened to that coach?
Horrible. You got
fired. Go back to the OC.
Right. First round pick, especially on a first round guy. But no, Lamar, I can't even compare him because he's already a better pro quarterback than Tebow. But I would have rather taken a chance on him than Josh in that draft, especially when Arizona traded up to get him. I was a little upset. I was sitting at Dave and Buster, I think, for our draft party, and I was running around going, we're getting Rosen. Like, we're getting Rosen. We're getting a quarterback. This is going to be fun. Him and Tannehill are going to have a competition. Then, oh, there's been a trade. And oh, my God, it's Arizona. They need a QB. We're not going to get Rosen. Maybe we can get Lamar at the end of this draft and see, or the end of the first round and see what happens. I was okay taking a chance because I'm okay. I'm a Dolphins fan. I would like to draft a quarterback every year until we get one. And I don't even mind that at that point. And if it's a first or second, I don't care. Get me somebody. Don't tell me in the last 21 years of the existence of this franchise, Ryan Tannehill's the only guy you thought was a first-round prospect.
It was unbelievable.
I can't even bring up his name. I get pissed. I'm getting heated just bringing up Tannehill's name. Because you know what he's doing in Tennessee? Doing the same thing he did here for 7 years. Teasing the hell out of you. Making you double... question mark Marcus Mariota. Maybe Marcus isn't our guy. Look at Ryan. Ryan's having a great preseason. Look at him. He's healthy. He's running around. He's what? Like, I don't know. You Tennessee, I'm sorry. It's going to happen to you.
It is.
It's going to happen very soon.
And the best was the first preseason game with Tannehill. They put up his stats, and all the Dolphins fans are like, no, just wait. It's coming.
Right.
Don't get your hopes up.
12 of 14, 184 yards, two touchdowns. Look what's happening. Tannehill's going to be the starter there. Tennessee fans, just wait.
Yeah,
it's coming. By the way, storm is coming.
He was playing all backups and third strings. Like,
the twos and the threes and the fours.
Temper
exactly.
Your expectations when it comes to preseason football.
All right, folks. If you want to join the show, you can. 56022 is the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Brian Monroe sitting in for Joe Rose. He's up in Tampa getting ready for the preseason game. All right, here on the Joe Rose Show, Brian Monroe in for Joe Rose today. Joe Rose in Tampa. There's a preseason game tonight. Preseason game number two. You can hear that here. 560 The Joe, WQAM. We're going to get into something in the 7 o'clock hour just because I'm so happy Brian just brought it up. Joe hasn't seen it yet, but Screwball, the movie that Billy Corbin just put out. Or it's been out for a little while now, but it hit Netflix. So once it hits Netflix, that's when everybody, you know, sees
everybody
it at that
sees
point.
It
was out in limited theaters for a while, but fantastic movie. We're going to get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. There's not enough time in this segment to get into that. It's too good of a topic at this point, and it's awesome stories in between. It's so Miami that it's amazing.
To the T, it's
right?
Miami.
It's so Miami that it's amazing. If you have not seen it yet, make some time over the weekend. It's probably going to rain all weekend long. Obviously, we live in South Florida. It's still sort of summertime. Actually, around 3 o'clock, start watching it because then you'll have a good 90 minutes of rain at that point.
No boat days for me.
Every day. I know. I hear you talking about boat days all the time. If you're not getting on that boat at 8 a.m., you ain't getting on the boat.
Well, the good thing is most of the time, we don't go in as an open fisherman. So we can go inside if it does rain for 20 minutes.
Right.
And
okay.
We all know how Miami weather is. After 20 minutes, it's gorgeous again.
Of course.
So we just get back out in the
party.
And I tell people all the time, if you're on a boat and there's a storm coming, why are you trying to go through it and it's going to be like needles? You already wet.
Right.
Just sit there.
Just take
pour
it.
Another drink.
Yeah, take it.
Get drunk.
Right.
And then it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Give it 30 minutes. It's going to be a little more sticky out because it's the post-rain stickiness. But if you live in South Florida, you're used to it. Now, if you don't, I've had friends who've come down from New York and even a couple of my buddies that live down on the West Coast in California who've come in. I've been in the heat in California. I've been in the heat in Texas. I've been in like the summer heat in New York. It's all hot and it's listen, you're in heat, it's hot.
Yeah.
There's nothing like the sticky heat though.
No.
Like the Vegas heat.
You can see the waves.
Right.
It's like the heat wave. You're like, it's really a heat wave. It's right over there.
Right. And you could see where it's raining 5 minutes, you know, we got 5 minutes till the rain is coming. But there's nothing like the South Florida heat compared to like I was in Dallas when it was like 97 outside. It felt like 130 outside. You walked outside, it was like you open the oven when you're, you know, cooking sweet potatoes at 400 degrees. Like that's the heat in Dallas. That's the heat in Vegas. That's the heat out in the West Coast. A little cooler heat, I guess you could say, kind of off the water in California. That's fine. But nothing like the sticky post-rain heat.
And that Vegas, you don't even know it's
hot
out because you're,
Listen, and
you're
now,
looking around at the scenery.
And now everything's recreational out there in Vegas, too, so it's a little different. Also. I went out. I was on the afternoon show with Hawk and Crowder for years, so we went out. I think one summer there were like six fights. And we went out to Vegas, it seemed like every 2 weeks, from June to September. It got to the point where I was getting sick of Vegas. I can't believe I'm saying that.
How are you saying that?
Because if you go every 2 weeks.
Are you human?
Yeah, if you go every 2 weeks.
I'm taking your man
for a 12-week span. I promise you that flight gets to you a little bit.
It's the flight. It's always the travel.
And then you're there for 3 days or 2 days. Like sometimes for those fights, they'd fly us out on a Wednesday. And it wasn't a big fight. It would be, you know, whatever versus whatever. It didn't matter. Like Pacquiao Mayweather.
You guys went to that?
Yes.
Oh.
I was there for that. We usually on a radio row, excuse me. For boxing, you do Thursday and Friday, the show's there. Tobin, those guys, Leroy was there out with us. They flew us out Sunday so we could start doing Radio Row like a Super Bowl Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday before Pacquiao Mayweather. To the point where I called my wife. We got married in Vegas. We eloped in Vegas. We did the smart thing. Anyone out there that's getting ready to get married or whatever, eloping is the way to go. Just save a lot of money. I called her up. I think it was Sunday night when I got there, and I was like, see how much the flight is for you Wednesday. Come out for like 3 days. We'll stay till Sunday or Monday. The place was nuts. Pacquiao Mayweather that week, I think the only comparison would be old Tyson fights out in Vegas. When there's an extra 200,000 or 300,000 people walking the streets, and you could tell because when you walk out of the MGM Grand or one of those places on the end of the strip, Treasure Island at the other end of the strip, you could just smell the weed all the way through, you know, side to side, whatever. Even my wife was like, God, like, you think, and I'm like, this is before it was recreational or you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It was crazy. But the boxing was great out there to go for a couple days. But I literally, at one point, I think that summer, even Hawk, and me and Hawk love to gamble. And I think we brought Crowder out there for like, you know, Crowder, I'm guessing anyone who's played professional football, while you were playing and everything, you knew that there was gambling, but you didn't like gamble on the games unless you were like crazy person. You were gambling on games, and we don't want to get into that. Crowder sat with me and Hawk, two degenerates. We were there the Thursday night where the kickoff is for the NFL.
Oh, and you're betting all the game.
But Crowder, and we went to Legacy Sports Bar in like the Venetian Hotel where they have a book in the middle of the restaurant, a sports book. Yes, you're making a face. In the middle, right by one of the bars, is a full sports book. The entire board is up and everything. So, of course, Hawks, like, we're planning to be there at 8, the game, or 5, because it's 3 hours back. 5:15, the game starts. We got to order 5:05. 5:07, we're at the book. We're making all our bets. So Crowder just kind of walks up with us. He doesn't know better or whatever. Crowder made so many bets because all the props, first field goal, this, that. I think it was Pittsburgh, New England. Of course, when you're a degenerate, you remember all those things. And Scott Shujin or whatever the guy's name is, the kicker. I forgot the kicker's name. For
Yes, I forgot.
Of course, I can't say the name. If you listen to the show, you know I butcher everyone's name. Crowder bet that his first field goal would be like 35-plus yards, and it would be the first score of the game. It was like 25-1. Crowder bet $100 on it. He's like, yeah, of course the first, you know, it's going to be a field goal. He gets up for a 42-yard field goal.
And nails it.
He misses it by 3 inches to the right. Crowder, on his first bet ever, literally felt what all gamblers feel when the guy misses the field goal, whatever. Except he had great odds. He was about to bank on his first bet. The guy misses it by 3 yards. He's like, no, don't worry. I have the second, or the, I still have it as the first score. He gets up again and misses another field goal in the first quarter. So I think the guy missed two. I think he missed two field goals all the season before and missed his first two to start the season. Crowder's ripping up tickets in the middle of this table.
And you see why players hate kickers.
Of course.
That's why they hate us.
Of course. And not only that, gamblers hate kickers too.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Unless you're at the end of the game and it's a 1.5-point spread or whatever. So, all right, that's a 6 o'clock hour. We got through that pretty quickly, talking about basically nothing. But I do want to get into Screwball, the Billy Corbin movie. We're going to talk about that at the top of the next hour because I thought it was fascinating. It's so Miami, and out of nowhere, we both just brought this up, so that's good. We have a lot going on the show today. We're going to talk fantasy football later on in the show. We're going to debut with Brian, the nose, today. The nose. Spencer Gildon, the nose, is going to be on with us today. He's our fantasy football expert on all last season. I do a podcast with him. He's great. He's very funny. We'll talk that. And Mike Florio, of course, it's Friday. We'll talk with him also. We get back 7 o'clock hour. We're getting into Screwball and how Miami this movie is. Brian Monroe in for Joe Rose. We're here till 10 o'clock this morning. We're going to talk a lot of football today. I promise you that. If you want to join us, 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We'll be back right after this.